Gather together as your people, we thank you that we can freely come into your very presence. We ask that you help us that we may have a deeper appreciation and consciousness of what it means to come before the presence of the great Almighty God, and also to be deeply appreciative that your Heavenly Father who cares for us. We ask that you also help us each day as we live our lives, that we may be also conscious of your sovereign undertaking. That each situation we go through, we may learn to walk with you, to trust you, and also to be careful, to be obedient to you, to exercise ourselves, our responsibilities, be prayerful. And we ask that you help us to learn how to recognize and perceive the issues of life from the spiritual perspective. That we will not go through our lives just based on the outward appearance of things. We may be able to perceive things accurately, to know how to adopt the right posture, approach, to learn to go through each situation well. And we ask that as we continue to look to you, as we continue to search the scriptures, ponder over what you seek to teach us through the scriptures, we ask that we may be helped towards a more accurate understanding of things, as well as to be helped to live a life that is more pleasing and effective in your sight. We thank you also for what is recorded for us of the life of David and what he went through. And we ask that as we ponder over David's encounter with Goliath, that you will also speak to us and help us to understand the truths, the lessons that we can learn for our own lives. We thank you for this time. We ask that you be pleased to be with us and to speak to us. Guide us by your Spirit. We pray for your protection, that you keep us from the evil one. They do not allow the powers of darkness in any way to distract, oppress, or hinder us from hearing, understanding, and hearkening to your word. We entrust this time to your loving hands. We pray and ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject, the 61st message, and the second major category of situations, the 37th message, the subtopic for today, David's encounter with Goliath. David's encounter with Goliath is one of the most popular and well-known stories in the Bible, and even children, many children are familiar with this story, and also non-Christians, including many who never read the Bible, they have some awareness of this story. There are many helpful lessons, principles for us to learn, and in particular, helpful lessons on how to go through situations well. Let us turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Reading from verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they gathered at Socor, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socor and Azekah in Ephes Damin. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs, and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. his shield carrier, also walked before him. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine, and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was a son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And Jesse was old in the days of Saul, advanced in years among men. And the 3 older sons of Jesse had gone after Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and the second to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. And David was the youngest. Now the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock at Bethlehem. And the Philistine came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. Then Jesse said to David, his son, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain, these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to your brothers. Bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of the 1,000, and look into the welfare of your brothers, and bring back news of them. For Saul and they and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines." So David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up in battle array, army against army. Then David left his baggage in the care of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. The men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches, and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Then David spoke to the man who was standing by him, saying, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in accord with his word, saying, "Thus it will be done for him, or thus it will be done for the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, "Why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your insolence and the wickedness of your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle." But David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just a question?" Then he turned away from him to another and said the same thing. And the people answered the same thing as before. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his garments, and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. And he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his pouch. And his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with a shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, with a handsome appearance. And the Philistine said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand to his back and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that the champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shaarim, even to Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camps. Then David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his weapons in his tent. As we look at this passage, which records for us the encounter between David and Goliath, let us first compare and contrast David with Goliath as we seek to understand the nature of this contest, this encounter between David and Goliath. First of all, let us look at Goliath, and immediately we are impressed with his physical size, his height, his stature, and his strength, and also his armor, including the weight of his armor and his weapons. We can see this in verses 4 to 7 of chapter 17. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits and a span, that was his height. And if you look at the margin of the New American Standard Bible, it says 1 cubit equals approximately 18 inches. So quite clearly here, Goliath, his height was 6 cubits and a span, that would be more than 9 feet, a very huge man. And he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. What comes through is this man fully clothed with armor, and also very heavy armor, well protected. He also had a bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelin slung between his shoulders, the javelin, his weapon. And the shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, just the shaft of his spear. And the head of his spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. So even his weapons were rather huge and heavy. He was well protected by armor and heavy armor. He must have great strength, besides his physical stature and size. In addition, he was described by Saul as a warrior from his youth, in verse 33. Saul saying to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." Likely the implication here would be that he is rather experienced in battles, in combat. And we consider Goliath, he comes through as a rather formidable foe, rather threatening. Many who consider such a foe would likely be fearful, frightened, and in fact that was what happened to the Israelites when Goliath challenged them. Even Saul himself was afraid. Verse 11, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." The Philistine was challenging them. Anybody challenge any of the Israelites to come and fight with him. And Saul, including Saul, and Saul was also recorded for us in the earlier chapters as one generally regarded as valiant, and also Saul was not of a small size. He was taller than the Israelites generally, and he was a king of Israel. But all Israel and Saul inclusive were afraid, greatly afraid. And no one dared to accept this challenge of Goliath. Verse 24 says, "When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid." They fled from him. So it's a rather formidable foe, frightening to consider facing an enemy like this, especially one-to-one combat. And if you contrast David, he was still a youth, relatively small size, and he seems rather ill-equipped for this encounter. He was not wearing any armor. He had no weapons except a sling and 5 stones and a stick. And apparently he was not experienced in battles. He had all this while been looking after sheep. And here he was accepting the challenge from Goliath, encountering Goliath in a one-to-one combat. How should we view this encounter between David and Goliath? The tendency is of people to view such an encounter from the outward appearance of things, and to regard it as an encounter between two who are rather unequal. That is, unequal in Goliath's favor. It's a tendency if people look at David accepting this challenge and going forth to meet Goliath. The tendency would be to regard it as an encounter between two who are rather unequal and unequal in Goliath's favor. And this was in fact how King Saul viewed the situation. That's how he assessed the situation. Verse 33. "Although he would have been glad if someone could really effectively challenge Goliath, but as he looked at David, David mentioned how he mentioned to Saul in verse 32, 'Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine.' But Saul's response was, 'You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth.'" You are not able. And then to go against this Philistine. Maybe some others, maybe you may be able, but you are not able to go against this Philistine, Goliath. His size, his strength, his experience in battle. You can't. You're not able. Surely you will not be able to prevail against him. The two of them seem so unequal in a one-to-one combat, so unequal in Goliath's favor. You are not able to go against this Philistine. Besides, the difference in size and strength and so on, he says, you are also a youth. You're just a youth. Whereas Goliath has been a warrior from his youth. Likewise to Goliath as he faced David. How Goliath viewed it. Verse 42 to 44 tells us that when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. He disdained him, for he was but a youth. He disdained David, he held him in contempt. That such a youth should dare to come and face him in a one-to-one combat, and without armor, and with no proper weapons, proper inverted commas, as far as Goliath is concerned. That's why he said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? You don't have any armor, you're not even properly armed, no weapons, no proper weapons, come to me with sticks. He disdained him, and he must have felt it ridiculous for this youth to come against him. And yet, the outcome of this contest, this fight, this encounter, was victory for David and death for Goliath. And swift and efficiently executed. Death for Goliath, swift and efficiently executed. Swift and efficiently executed. Executed is actually a pun, there's a double meaning. David executed it swiftly, efficiently. Goliath was executed. Verses 48 to 51, we see the description of what happened. It seems so easy. It looks so easy. Verses 48 to 51. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand to his back and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his head, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. It was so quick. The whole thing was over. David running quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine, just put his hand to the back, took out just one stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead, sank to the forehead of Goliath, and he fell on his face to the ground. Just one stone, and the whole thing, the whole contest was over. So verse 50 says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. And there was no sword in David's hand, and he ran and stood over the Philistine, took Goliath's own sword, drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. There are a few questions helpful for us to raise and ponder over as we ponder over this incident. Why did David triumph over Goliath? Was it really an encounter between two very unequal and in Goliath's favor? Was it really an encounter between two very unequal and in Goliath's favor? That is this a true, accurate assessment, all things considered? That is, we don't look at it from the point of view of after the event. This is just before the contest took place as David went to meet Goliath. Was it really an encounter between two very unequal and in Goliath's favor, if we are able to have a true, accurate assessment, all things considered? In other words, was it surprising that David won the contest? What are the issues involved? What can we learn? answer these questions, I see the most important aspect to bear in mind, to take into account in this episode, is the first point. And the first point is the spiritual dimension. This is the most important aspect that helps us to have a true, accurate assessment of the encounter between the two, between David and Goliath, and will help us also to go beyond the outward appearance of things. The spiritual dimension, and the spiritual dimension, the main aspect I could consider with you, this first point, is God's hand upon David's life and how God was with him in a favorable sense. And this is a very crucial point which has a very significant bearing on the outcome of this encounter. There are two verses that are helpful to take note of. Two verses which sandwich this episode. There is one verse before this chapter and another verse that comes after this incident. Chapter 16, verse 13. Samuel had been instructed by God specifically to anoint David king of Israel. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is, anointed David, in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. In the context of this, we've seen in earlier messages. I will not go into detail, but just highlight the context of this battle. Just prior to this, in the earlier chapter, David had been anointed king by Samuel, as instructed by God, anointed king over God's people, the Israelites. And it says the Spirit of God came mightily upon David, not just for that moment, but from that day forward. The Spirit of God came mightily upon David from that day forward. And as we read on, it's quite clear that this was still true in the encounter between David and Goliath in chapter 17. And a verse that comes after this incident, this encounter between David and Goliath, we see in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14, a verse that we have referred to from time to time and highlighted in earlier messages in our consideration of David. Chapter 18, verse 14. And David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. God's hand upon David's life, and David prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. Not just David's own capabilities, but God was with him, watching over him, undertaking for his life. The Lord's hand upon David's life. The Lord was with him in a favorable sense. The other points we are now going to consider bear a relationship with the first point and can also be regarded as an elaboration or part of the total picture of the spiritual dimension and perspective of this episode. Although I just refer to God's hand upon David's life in the first point of the spiritual dimension, but actually the other verses, the other points I want to consider together with you bear a relationship with this first point of the spiritual dimension and are actually part of the total picture of the spiritual dimension and perspective of this episode. The second point, David was not inexperienced with regards to difficult and dangerous encounters and life and death struggles, and going through them with God. and knowing God's undertaking and enabling Him to overcome. That is, to come through triumphantly. This is an important point to take note of. That is, although it seems that David was just a youth, and or rather David was just a youth, and it seems he didn't have battle experiences, nevertheless he was not inexperienced with regards to difficult and dangerous encounters. This encounter with Goliath is of a difficult and dangerous kind, and also a life and death struggle. But David, this kind of experience is not foreign to him, and not only he has gone through such experiences, but have learned to go through them together with God, as well as experiencing God's undertaking and enabling, and coming through triumphantly. So that we can say, in principle, not dissimilar to this encounter with Goliath. And this is important. David's, you can put it, look at, phrase it as David's history with God. His experiences going through with God. Learning, understanding, experiencing God and God's undertaking, knowing God and God's undertaking, and going through not only various kinds of situations with God, but even this kind of experience of life and death struggles, dangerous encounters. We see this recorded in verses 34 to 37. This was in response to Saul saying to David that he's not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. He says, "For you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." And David said to Saul, this was in answer to Saul's doubts about David's ability to overcome Goliath. David said, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep." Yes, I was only tending sheep, that is true. But that doesn't mean that it has no relevance in my being equipped, prepared, trained to face a situation like this. He says, "When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him." It's a life and death struggle to fight against a lion and a bear, and actually seizing him by his beard and striking him and killing him. It's not an easy thing. Dangerous encounters, life and death struggles. But not only that. Verse 36, David went on to say, "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this circumcised Philistine will be like one of them." It is not really that different. There are similarities involved. "And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." This is a point which later I will elaborate upon. It's also the whole way David viewed this thing is that this Philistine had taunted the armies of the living God, that his cause was a worthy cause and God would approve of it. He would be going through with the Lord. Verse 37, David elaborated, not only he overcame the lion and the bear, but he said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear." Not only David had gone through difficult and dangerous encounters, life and death struggles, but going through with the Lord, and not only going through with the Lord, but knowing and experiencing God's undertaking, that the Lord had delivered him. He'd experienced these things. And these are very helpful things. Going through with God, a history with God, experiencing God's undertaking, enabling deliverance, victory. By God's enabling. And then he links this now to his encounter with Goliath. Verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And David was again going through this incident together with God. And going through with God in a context like this, it's not something that David was inexperienced. He had gone through such dangerous encounters, life and death struggles, together with God and knowing God's undertaking. And we take these past experiences of David into consideration, into account, and how he overcame in those contexts. It's not really that surprising that he also was able to overcome Goliath and know the Lord's deliverance from the hand of this Philistine. And as we take note of this point of David's past experiences and how that helped him to overcome Goliath, to face Goliath, it's helpful for us to take note that God could equip David even in the context of tending sheep. And something like looking after sheep is a context where people could easily regard as a context difficult in any way to be equipped for facing a person like Goliath. It doesn't seem to bear any relationship. But even the context of tending sheep, God could equip David. That is, if we are walking well with God, He can teach us and equip us in many ways for the future and what we have to face in the future. Through all kinds of situations and contexts as we go through them, and even in contexts that may appear or often people associate with the routine, the unexciting, the uneventful, contexts where people often associate with situations where there's nothing much to learn, let us realize that if you are walking well with God, we have a lively walk with God, He can teach us and equip us and prepare us in many different ways to face what lies ahead, even big problematic situations, dangerous encounters, what the future may hold for us. And this includes even contexts which may appear the routine, even if you stay at home to look after the home, attend to the household context, looking after children, babies, a job that may not appear to be very exciting. God can teach us and equip us if we have a lively walk with God and we are walking well with Him. The third point, David's confidence in and reliance upon the Lord. And it is helpful to note the distinction between the third point and the second point. It sounds a bit similar, but there is actually a rather important distinction. And that is, the third point we are considering has to do with how David went through this incident, this encounter between David and Goliath, the present context. David's confidence and reliance upon the Lord as he faced Goliath. That is, the distinction lies in the fact that the second point has to do with past experiences with God, how we went through with God. But how we fared with God, we may have fared rather well, we have learned various things, but that does not mean we will fare well in the present context. Notice that David was not self-confident, nor proud, nor was there any hint of reliance upon his own skill or ability, or on his past experiences. He didn't just place confidence, "Oh, I have overcome so many difficulties in times past, this will not be a problem. Basing on my past experience, I can easily accomplish this thing. No. There was a lively, present reliance and confidence in the Lord and going through with God for this present context and this present prevailing situation. Verse 37. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear," that is the past experience, the past victories. But not only that, he says, "He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. There's still the reliance upon God. The confidence is in God. He will deliver me. Not because I've gained my experience, I now know what to do, I will overcome. But God will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And this is important. An important principle for us to bear in mind, to be careful about. Having gone through meaningfully, victoriously with the Lord some incidents, we must not become self-confident or proud or rely upon our past experiences. But we must learn to, not only with our mouths and lips, but in our hearts, in reality, humbly trusting God, going through with God each situation that confronts us. Verse 45 to 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. You rely on these things. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." But the contrast. You rely on your spear, your sword, your javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Not David didn't say, "I come to you on the basis of my past experiences, my skill, my ability." But in the name of the Lord of hosts. Verse 46. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands." He was not trying to project himself, proud, self-confident. He will overcome by his own ability. No. "But this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And I will strike you down." Yes, I will strike you down. But the Lord is the one who delivers you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give you, and I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Because he accomplishes it with the enabling of God. "That all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver." It's the Lord who delivers. "That the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." The whole emphasis is on God and God's enabling. David's confidence as he faces Goliath is not confidence in himself, his ability, his past experiences, but his confidence in and reliance upon the Lord. So points 2 and 3 complement each other. Past experiences are very helpful and equip us. Learning to go through with God, we learn much from God. They have a bearing on present circumstances and situations. But it must be complemented by the third point. And that is, we must continue humbly to walk with God, to trust Him, to rely upon Him. Points 2 and 3 should complement each other. Let us learn to be careful, not to become presumptuous and proud, careless. Because in the past, the Lord has seen us through some situations. And we contrast the arrogance and contemptuous attitude of Goliath. Verses 42 to 44. The arrogance and contemptuous attitude of Goliath. Verse 42. "When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth." Contemptuous. He was arrogant. And he said in verse 42, to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" It was contemptuous of David coming to him in that way. And verse 44, he said to David, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. I will give your flesh." He's confident in himself, self-confident, proud, arrogant. Although David did say something words that sound something like this in verse 46, because in the middle of verse 46 he also did mention, I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky. It's actually quite different, because this takes place in the context of verse 46, the first part. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down. It's in the context of attributing whatever he's able to do to God, and also his reliance upon God, that God is the one who delivers. But as far as we can see of this Philistine, it's different. "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky," and so on. Arrogance, self-confidence. I will do this, I will do that. And as we look at and contrast the attitudes of these two, let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, because it has a bearing on the outcome. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Peter says, "You younger, likewise," or the younger ones, "likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another." Clothe yourselves with humility. Humility is a very important trait for a believer. And Peter states this very important truth. Peter says, "Clothe yourselves with humility," a very important trait for believers to take note of. And then he went on to state this important truth, that God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble. So both directions be applied to David and Goliath. On the one hand, God is opposed to the proud, the arrogance of Goliath, his contemptuous attitude, and he gives grace to the humble. He helps those who are humble. David's attitude, posture, was such that God had freedom to work in his life. The fourth point, David's cause and fight is in line with God's cause. David was not just fighting his own battle for his own reasons. He was not fighting for his own personal ambitions, his own personal goals, his own selfish desires. But his cause, his fight, is in line with God's cause. And this is an important point to take note of. And also for our own reflections in our own lives, the things that we take on, situations we deliberately enter into, encounters, challenges which we take up, tasks that we assume, is it in line with God's cause or our own personal ambitions and selfish desires? Let us look again at verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 26. "Then David spoke to the man who was standing by him, 'What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel?'" And then he mentions this point. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" David was provoked, aroused by this Philistine taunting the armies of the living God, challenging the Israelites. And to him, it was not just any battle, any contest, but it has to do with someone taunting the armies of the living God. God and God's cause involved. This uncircumcised Philistine, that's to distinguish the Philistine from the Israelites under the covenant with God, and that he should taunt the armies of the living God. So David's concentration is not just on this, the size of the Philistine and how strong, how able a fighter he is, but that he's an uncircumcised Philistine and that he should taunt the armies of the living God. And why David accepted this challenge was because he was taunting the armies of the living God. Verse 36, as he explained to King Saul about his accepting this challenge to fight against the Philistine, after mentioning how he has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, that he will also overcome this Philistine. Why? He says, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. That was the basis of David's confidence. Not just anybody, not just any battle, but this particular Philistine. Why is it I'll be able to overcome him? Because he has taunted the armies of the living God. So the Lord will help me. Because David's concern, his cause, was in line with God's cause. So the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Then we look at verses 45 to 47. David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. He came against the Philistine in the name of God, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. God is involved when the Philistine taunted the Israelites, because he's the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. So this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. And how he'll strike him down and so on. And then he went on to say, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The goal, the direction, has to do with God and God's purposes, God's name, and the testimony to the fact that there is a God in Israel. This is in line with what God is concerned about. In verse 47, that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's, not just his own personal battle. The battle is the Lord's, and he will deliver you into our hands. As David responded to this challenge, he was conscious of the meaning, the implications of responding to this challenge. Why is it he responded to Goliath? Why is it he entered into this contest? The battle is the Lord's. That this assembly, the Israelites as well as the Philistines, will come to recognize the reality of the living God who enabled David overcome Goliath. So another way of putting it, you can say that there's a reflection here of that oneness with God in heart, in David's heart. There was that reflection of that oneness with God in this particular incident when he accepted this challenge, because his heart was one with God and the direction and the goal, what he was seeking to accomplish. And this would have a direct bearing on the spiritual dimension and our spiritual perspective of this whole contest and what would be the likely outcome. Because if David were entering into a contest for his own personal desires and ambitions and goals, it would be quite different. He may seek to trust the Lord and so on, but he will not be able to have a proper sense of confidence in God and assurance of God's undertaking and deliverance. In addition to these 4 points, we also can take note the 5th point, that David was actually rather skillful. David was rather skillful in this context, in an area that counts significantly, and that is the way he handled the sling. He was rather skillful. He was efficient, accurate, and effective. When we see the sling here played a decisive role in the contest, and David was skillful at the point that mattered. The way he handled the sling, he was efficient, accurate, and effective. Let's look again at verse 49. David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. Very simple description, straightforward description of what happened. But let us ponder over this verse. David put his hand to his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. Just one stone, he didn't have to do it many times. Just one stone, and it sank into Goliath's forehead. Now let us bear in mind this context. Bear in mind, Goliath was fully clothed with armor, very well protected, generally well protected. There are very few areas in his body that was not protected. We saw just now the whole description of it, from the bronze helmet to his being clothed with a scale armor, and even the bronze greaves on his legs. So bear in mind Goliath's armor, generally well protected, and also that this was a moving target. It's not just slinging a stone and at a dead target, not moving. This is a moving target. Goliath, a moving target. And not only a moving target, Goliath was more than a moving target. Because sometimes in practice, you may have a moving target and then you try to shoot at it or aim at it. But it is a dead object, but you just move it around. But this is not just a moving target. This is a live human being who can take evasive action, can see what you are doing and try to evade you. So this is not an easy thing. And at the same time, David cannot only just concentrate on trying to hit Goliath, he also has to beware of what Goliath can do to him. And bear in mind also that this is in a context where you are facing a giant of such size, which tends to give rise to which easily can evoke in people a sense of fear. And so in this context, also bear in mind that the description of what happened, there needs also not only to be accuracy, but with that one stone, there must be the sufficient force from that stone when it hits Goliath's forehead, sufficient force to penetrate Goliath's forehead and to have the desired effect to overcome this giant. So likely, David had much practice with the sling. He was well trained, and not only that, he was calm. He went through the situation very well as he faced Goliath, and calm in the midst of a life and death fight with an awe-inspiring giant. So though the description here is in a few words and seems so, may come through as so easy and straightforward, he just sling and Goliath fell down. But if we ponder over it, then we can learn to appreciate more fully the meaning of what was involved, what actually took place. At the same time, to bear in mind that this is not just a fictional story, but a real life event. Sometimes, especially children, or how a story like this may be told to children, it may just sound like a story, as if it's like a fictional story. And sometimes we read, whether it be books or other programs that we may watch in different contexts, where it has to do with fictional stories. Then, at times, if you're not careful, when you read the scriptures, a story like David and Goliath, it may not strike us, we may not put ourselves in the picture of what actually happened in a real life situation like that. And we just assume, of course, David will just sling his stone and the giant will just fall down dead. And surely it will be that way. But as we ponder over the real life situation of David encountering Goliath and being able to overcome him in that way, it's not an easy thing. There's that kind of calmness and skill and ability to execute. What was necessary. And all this, if we bear in mind also earlier chapters, as well as later on, we read on about the life of David, that he is a valiant warrior, a capable warrior. This was not just happens to be a coincidence. In other words, that he actually was not skillful. He is an able warrior. He's a skillful warrior. The sixth point, David was careful. David was careful. He was not reckless. He was not presumptuous. Although he trusted God and he knew that the Lord's hand was upon him and the Spirit of God had come mightily upon him, he didn't have this kind of attitude. Oh, there's no problem because God is with me. And he just went ahead carelessly, presumptuously. It was not like that. Look at verse 40. And he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He selected 5 smooth stones. And we need to take note that these stones must be suitable. It's important that the stones are suitable. Then it can be accurate and effective. If David had been careless and didn't pay attention to these things, then it could end up a problem. He selected. He was careful. The stones must be suitable. So he selected. He selected the stones. In verses 38 and 39, it's a description of how he declined Saul's armor, helmet, and sword. He was, again, careful here. Then Saul clothed David with his garments and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he clothed him with armor. And this may seem like a great honor. The king's own helmet, armor, and later on also mentioning his sword in verse 39. And it's easy for a person in such a context to just quickly be very glad to have these things. Such a great honor, and may seem to be very helpful. The king's own armor, helmet, sword. These must be things of quality. But notice verse 39, and David girded his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. He didn't just simply accept it, but he tried, he tested it. So David said to Saul, as a result of it, he said, I cannot go with this, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. He was careful. He had doubts as to the suitability of the armor, helmet, and sword. He was not confident that with these he will be more effective. He will be able to maneuver properly to be in a better position in the encounter. So he did try them. He didn't just reject them outright. He tried them, but he was careful to try them and to consider them whether they are suitable or not. And his conclusion was that they were not suitable. He wasn't confident enough that in this encounter he should put on these things. And so as a result, there was no armor, no helmet. But because of this, he could move quickly. Verse 48. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Because there was no armor and helmet and so on, David could move quickly. It's easier to maneuver. And if you ponder about it, you realize that this would be important for effective positioning and use of the sling against Goliath. Because it's not just anyhow, you just swing and then you hope to accomplish what you want to do. He was not encumbered by the armor or the helmet. He could move quickly. He could maneuver himself, and however Goliath may try to move, he could be more effective in positioning himself. Because if you contrast him with Goliath, Goliath with his heavy armor would be rather clumsy. With his heavy armor and weapons, Goliath would likely be rather clumsy compared to David, who could move, position himself easily, and as a result then position himself properly for an effective use of his sling against Goliath. So in this particular context, this would be helpful. So we ponder over all these various points, we can then see a beautiful picture of, on the one hand, trusting God, going through with God, yet at the same time exercising due care and being properly equipped, trained and prepared for the task. You can view this whole episode that should impress upon our hearts to learn to do likewise. A beautiful picture of someone trusting God, going through with God, not just past experiences, but also the present situation, every situation, learning to trust God, to go through with God, but not only trusting God, but still learning to exercise due care in the situation, and at the same time, the helpfulness of being properly equipped. Properly equipped doesn't mean having as much as possible. There are certain things we have to reject. Certain things are helpful in that situation. And being trained, prepared for the task. Trained and prepared for the task includes the past history with God, as well as whatever skills that are helpful in that situation and context. And the whole manner in which the person goes through the incident. I want to consider with you one last point, point 7, which is rather relevant also for us to bear in mind. Because all the 6 points may be there, but without the 7th, or if you violate the 7th, it can be a big problem and can be very serious at times if we violate this 7th point. And that is, under the circumstances, it is fitting for David, as God's chosen warrior king, to respond to Goliath's taunting challenge to Israel. As representative of Israel's enemy, the Philistines, and overcome him. Under the circumstances, it is fitting for David, as God's chosen warrior king, to respond to Goliath's taunting challenge to Israel, as representative of Israel's enemy, the Philistines, and overcome him. The main point, the main issue, point 7 has to do with whether is it the correct thing for David to do? Is it appropriate? Is it fitting for him under the circumstances? As far as we can see, the whole thing, it was a fitting thing for David to do. And when you say fitting, we are talking about fitting in relation with God. Walk with God. What God would approve of. Is it something in fellowship with God? What God would regard as appropriate, fitting for David to do? Under the circumstances, from all we can see, it is a fitting thing for David to do as God's chosen warrior king. Not only God's chosen king, but also the way the Lord had prepared David, and also he was not just a king, as he go on to see in this whole context of David's kingship after this incident and so on. David was very much involved in battles. He was a warrior king, able in fighting. It was proper for him to respond to Goliath's taunting, because Goliath was taunting and challenging Israel, and he was representing Israel's enemy. Fitting for David as God's chosen warrior king to respond, to accept this challenge and to overcome him. And as we consider this point, it's helpful to note two aspects. A, all Israel, including King Saul, was fearful, dismayed, and dared not accept Goliath's taunting challenge. We saw this just now in verses 11 and 24. All Israel, including King Saul, was fearful, dismayed, and dared not accept Goliath's taunting challenge. In other words, no one was responding to this challenge, and here was this Philistine taunting the armies of the living God. Verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They all dismayed, they were greatly afraid, and none dared to respond to this challenge. Only that they fled. Verse 24. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. They fled. You're greatly afraid, not just fearful, but greatly afraid. Greatly afraid in verse 24 and also in verse 21. Dismayed, greatly afraid. There was none responding to this challenge of Goliath. And also in verse 16, we see here, recorded the Philistine, that's referring to Goliath, came forward morning and evening for 40 days and took his stand. But none was in a position to respond to this Philistine's challenge. B, it's also helpful to take note of the description of David. A description of David in chapter 16, verse 18. Although he was still a youth, chapter 16, verse 18. One of the young men answered to Saul, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite." This is referring to David, who is a skillful musician, but not only skillful musician, but skillful musician is the relevant thing at that point in this particular context of seeking for a man skillful player on the harp in verse 16. But this verse is helpful not so much with reference to him being a skillful musician, but the elaboration of this man, David, who is a skillful musician, a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him. What is more relevant in our consideration is a mighty man of valor. Though he is young, he is a mighty man of valor, a warrior, one prudent in speech, and the Lord is with him. The warrior here does not necessarily mean that he has a lot of battle experiences. It may not necessarily mean that. From what we have seen of his past background, he was described as a youth and has been tending sheep. But this could perhaps be a reference to how he had trained himself and the qualities with him as a fighter, as a warrior. A warrior in a sense, a fighter. Equipped, properly trained, and a mighty man of valor. And the Lord is with him. He's recognized by others. Others could recognize that the Lord's hand was upon his life. In other words, it was not an ill-equipped David responding to this challenge of Goliath. So the main point here has to do with this aspect, that whether it's appropriate for David. And the point is that it's appropriate for David to respond the way he did to Goliath's challenge under the circumstances. That is, to accept Goliath's challenge. And appropriate from the spiritual perspective, appropriate as far as we can see, in line with what would be appropriate in the eyes of God. I mentioned that this last point is helpful for us to bear in mind, because though the Lord may be with a person, generally in a favorable sense, that is, if we regard all the other points, but if this last point we are not careful about, it can at times lead us into serious trouble. The Lord may be generally with a person, in a favorable sense, that's point one. Point two, the person may also have gone through various situations with God and been trained by God, equipped by the Lord. He may also go through a situation trusting God, relying upon God. Third point. The fourth point, as he pondered about it, it is something that is not contrary to God's kingdom. In other words, it can be, for example, a spiritual, the accomplishment, the goal may be of a spiritual nature. The objective may be commendable, but if he's not the appropriate person, if it's not appropriate for him to enter into it, and the person enters into it, not ready for it in that sense, because that is not what he's suitable for, he's not ready for that particular task, maybe he may be suitable for other tasks, then he can also get into serious trouble. He may also be skillful in the general or even in the particular issue. He may have some skill, but he may not be equal to that particular task. Or for some reason, the Lord doesn't want him to be involved in that situation. And if he goes through it, he may still try to be careful. But that may still not be enough, although all these 6 points are very important and helpful. But the seventh point is also not to be forgotten, neglected, and that is to still ponder whether it is the appropriate thing to do in the eyes of the Lord, especially in major issues or issues that may result in various implications. And sometimes, in contexts that are dangerous, we have to be especially careful. That is what the Lord wants us to go through. But now, as we ponder over all these 7 points, as we bear in mind all these points, then we can ask ourselves again, what then would be the true, accurate assessment or perspective of this encounter between David and Goliath? What would be the true, accurate assessment and perspective? If we bear in mind all these things and some of the issues that really count, who would be likely to win? That is, even before we know the result, as David goes to meet Goliath, if we know all this, we bear in mind all these points, that is, in the reality rather than the appearance. We don't just look at the outward appearance of things, we are aware, we know the reality of things. Then is unequal in whose favor? Is it unequal in an unequal contest in Goliath's favor? Is it surprising that David won? The answer would be no. It is not surprising that David won. It is an appropriate thing for him to accept this challenge. The Lord's hand was upon his life. He was not inexperienced in life, death, struggles, and knowing and experiencing God's deliverances. He was trusting God, relying upon God, not self-confident and presumptuous. And the cause was in line with God's cause. He was skillful for that task. He was careful. And the way he overcame Goliath reveals his ability in that situation together, as he went through together with God. Is it really surprising that David won? No, it is not surprising. There are various helpful lessons for us to ponder over for application in our own lives as we consider this encounter between David and Goliath. But we'll leave that for the next message. The Lord willing, we'll ponder over what we can learn for ourselves and its application to our own lives, especially regards to how to view and go through situations well. In summary, for today's message, as we consider the encounter between David and Goliath, from the outward appearance of things, we just compare David with Goliath. It seemed to be a contest between two who are rather unequal, and unequal in Goliath's favor. His physical size, height, strength, the armor, the weapons that he had, and one who is experienced, likely to be experienced in battles, a warrior from his youth. And in contrast, David, just a youth, relatively of small size, who seemed rather ill-equipped for the encounter, without armor nor weapons except a sling and 5 stones and a stick, and one apparently not experienced in battles, who had been looking after sheep. And generally, from outward appearance of things, people tend to view it as a contest between two rather unequal and in Goliath's favor. But this would be an assessment based on outward appearance of things, and this was King Saul's view and assessment. Likewise also, Goliath's own posture and view of the matter when David went to meet him. And so we pondered over some questions. Why did David triumph over Goliath? Because David did triumph over him. The outcome was swift, and the victory was efficiently executed. Why did David triumph over Goliath? Was it really an encounter between two very unequal in David, in Goliath's favor? As we pondered over it, bearing in mind all the factors, we find it's not so. Because there is not a true, accurate assessment, all things considered. It's not really surprising that David won the contest. What are the issues involved? What can we learn? What we can learn along the way, already some of these issues have surfaced, but we'll ponder more of them in the next message. But to understand accurately what's happened and understand why David triumphed over Goliath, the most important aspect is to try to view it from the spiritual, to bear in mind the spiritual dimension. To recognize God's hand upon David's life, God with him in a favorable sense, as well as the fact that David was not inexperienced with regards to such dangerous encounters, and not only experienced such encounters, but going through with them and overcoming, coming through victoriously together with God. In principle, not dissimilar from this encounter with Goliath. And even this present situation, he was also trusting God, relying upon God, confident in the Lord, but not proud, nor self-confident, nor relying upon his own skill or past experiences, in contrast with Goliath's arrogant and contemptuous attitude. And David's cause and fight was in line with God's cause. And so God had full freedom to help David, because it was in the same direction as what God is concerned about. In addition, David was skillful, the way he handled the sling, efficient, accurate, and effective. And he was careful. He was not reckless nor presumptuous, although he was aware that God was with him. The way he selected the stones, rejected the armor, and the whole way he went about overcoming Goliath. A beautiful picture of one trusting God, yet exercising due care, one properly equipped, prepared, trained for this task, for the task at hand. And last of all, to recognize that under the circumstances, it was appropriate, a fitting thing, for David as God's chosen warrior king to respond to Goliath's taunting challenge to Israel. As all Israel, including King Saul, were fearful, dismayed, none dared accept the challenge of Goliath. And David was God's chosen king and had been equipped, prepared, trained, appropriate for David to respond in this way. And so it is not surprising that David won this contest, and helpful for us to ponder over these things, so that as we face major problems, difficulties and issues, in principle like facing of a giant problem in front of us, a Goliath, we may also learn to know what are the issues to take into account, that we may have a true, accurate assessment of things and the perspective we ought to adopt. We will ponder more about this, the Lord willing, in the next message. Let us now prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper. Let's ponder over our lives. Are we in a position to have a proper sense of confidence in God and assurance before Him? Are our lives pleasing to Him? Is His hand upon our lives? Is He with us in a favorable sense? Are the things that we are concerned about, involved in, our personal ambitions and goals? Or is it in line with what is in God's heart? Have we sought to walk well with God, to be properly trained by Him, to prepare ourselves properly for whatever may lie ahead, and to learn to go through each situation, trusting God, humbly walking with Him, also learning to be careful, exercising due care even as we trust God, and not being presumptuous, careless, and to be involved only in matters, especially major issues, dangerous matters, potentially problematic issues. Be careful that those are things that are appropriate for us to be involved in, that the Lord would approve of us being involved in that manner, especially in contexts where we have a choice whether to be involved or not. Let us ask the Spirit of the Lord to search our hearts and lives, and if there are areas that are displeasing before Him, not right, contexts we shouldn't be in, let us confess to Him and look to Him to help us to come out of such undesirable contexts or attitudes and ways that we need to correct, that we may have a clear conscience before God. Your grace towards us. Thank you for your hand upon our lives, your undertaking in various contexts. But we know that you do desire to have a greater sense of freedom to work in our lives, that there are areas in our lives that do hinder your working in us. And we ask that you will continue to help us to be open to you and what you have to say to us, to sort out our lives before you. Help us to learn from David, his attitudes and ways, and the lessons that we can learn from how he went through this encounter with Goliath, that we too may be able to have a true sense, proper sense of confidence in you as we go through the various situations of life. We thank you that there's much that you desire to teach us, to help us to develop in our lives, and also to equip us to face whatever may lie ahead of us. We ask that you help us, that we may not be resistant to what you are seeking to teach us. And even now we ask that you help us to forsake whatever is displeasing in your sight, that you cleanse us from all our sins, prepare our hearts that we may not partake the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We thank you for the bread and the wine. We ask your blessings on the bread and wine. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for what he has done for us, his love, his grace, his willingness to die on the cross on our behalf. We thank you for his life, his example to us. We ask that you help us to grow in appreciation of him and his ways and how to walk in his steps. We give you thanks. We pray all this in Jesus' name.